Hello, and welcome to our weekly message. In today's message, Pastor Myron begins our new Easter sermon series titled Passion Week. This week's message is titled Enter the King of Glory from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11.
Now, if I added dates on the calendar correctly, we're just 105 days away. Does that seem close or not so close? 105 days away from an annual moment for us that we love, and that's a chance to tangibly bless in Jesus' name our community by putting on for them a Stampede breakfast, 105 days away. Did you know, speaking of the Calgary Stampede, that the first Calgary Stampede parade happened on September the 2nd, 1912? The parade was led by 1,800 Treaty 7 First Nations people in full regalia. I've got a slide up here. Maybe Cheeky can put that up. And though our city at the time had a population of just 60,000 people, some 80,000 people lined the parade route to take in the spectacle. That makes me think of another parade. One day, the Lord Jesus, the King from all eternity, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and lining the parade route that day were multiplied thousands upon thousands of people who were filled with joy and excitement at the moment. And in some sense, everybody loves a parade. But on that day, which was the height of Jesus' popularity during his earthly ministry, the crowd was filled with adulation for him. We do know, however, that within just a few days, the cheers would turn to jeers, and Jesus our Lord would give himself for us to a horrific death on the cross, paying for our sins. This morning, at the beginning of Holy Week, we're moving into a mini-series titled Passion Week. This is Passion Week. We're going to study the Gospel of Mark in these days, and Mark's Gospel is kind of unique in this regard. 16 chapters long, and yet the Gospel writer Mark devotes just over one-third of all of those chapters to the last week in Jesus' life. So on this Palm Sunday, on your device, in your Bible, I invite you to find Mark's account of that incredible day, and it's Mark 11 and verses 1 to 11. We're going to look at Mark's dramatic account this morning of the first Palm Sunday, which may well have occurred on March the 29th, 33 A.D., on that day, Jesus our Lord rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, the background to this passage of Scripture is the Passover season. That's when Palm Sunday happened. And during the Passover season, Jewish worshipers from all over Israel would bring a lamb for sacrifice at the temple. On that Sunday, all those years ago, Jesus, the Lamb of God, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as Messiah and as Savior. Mark's account, then, of the very first Palm Sunday unfolds in three dramatic scenes. Let's call scene one the presentation. On that day, in what manner was Jesus presented to the people who gathered to cheer with excitement at this king who is riding in their midst? Look at verses 1 to 6. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. On this day, Jesus and his disciples arrived at those two villages on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about a kilometer and a half from the holy city. And it was at that point that Jesus sent two of his disciples into the village looking for a colt of a donkey that would be tied up there. The animal had never previously been ridden, and they were to get the colt and bring it to Jesus. And if anybody asked them why, they were to tell them that the Lord needs it. And we might wonder, what is going on here? What's with the carjacking of the donkey? And how did Jesus know the donkey would be there? And why was a donkey even a big deal? Friends, this wasn't just good advanced planning. In this moment, on this very profound day in history and in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was being presented in his authority as the King from all eternity. When Jesus predicted for his disciples that they would find a donkey and a colt of a donkey, I mean, he was demonstrating his authority as the very incarnate Son of God. He knew that donkey would be there. Not only that, Jesus was intentionally at this point ensuring that a prophecy, which in his day was 600 years old, Zechariah 9 verse 9, that it would be totally fulfilled as the prophet Zechariah predicted 6 centuries earlier that Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, the colt of a donkey. What we're saying is that on this Palm Sunday, as this excited parade formed up and then unfolded, our Lord Jesus was fully in control. Friends, it makes me think of a story that our IWs told me a while ago. This guy was an ISIS fighter in the Middle East. And the Spirit of God sent him dreams and visions of Jesus. And he had a Saul of Tarsus type conversion. Turned from his sins and turned in faith to Jesus as the only one who could rescue him from his sins and lead his life. And then he went back to his homeland and he went to the mosque, his mosque, and there he prayed that the Spirit of God would transform that mosque into a place where the good news of Jesus would be proclaimed. And then he went and painted in Arabic script the Ten Commandments on the mosque. Friends, you know what? In his authority, and by the power of his might, from a heart of grace and mercy, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ does, amen? He transforms the lives of people, and not just over there, but surely over there, he's doing this in our city and in our midst as well. This is the authority of our King. That the power of the Spirit of God rests upon him in glory and grace, that by Jesus' mighty name, people find healing and deliverance and renewed strength and hope and brand new life in Jesus' mighty name. This is who our Lord Jesus is. We invite him to do this in our midst. Amen? He's the one who comes in the authority of the living God. He's God incarnate. Not only that, Colossians 1 verse 17, this Lord Jesus, who by his authority and by the power of his might literally holds all things together in the universe, our lives are in his hands too, and we find hope in that. So on that day, scene one, the presentation, there was Jesus presented to the throng on the parade route in his authority. But did you catch a unique phrase in verse 3? In verse 3, Jesus gives us powerful insight into ministry, and Jesus said something that on balance seems odd. In verse 3, he told his disciples, if someone asks you why you're taking the donkey, tell them what? The Lord needs it. Are you kidding me? I mean, the incarnate Son of God, the creator and sustainer of everything, the King from all eternity, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me ultimately, and he doesn't need you. But can you believe that our God, in sovereign grace and wisdom, has ordained that life-transforming ministry, that miracles happen in the lives of people as regular followers of Jesus like us choose to join Jesus on mission to share his hope and love with those that we're in contact with. We get to join Jesus on mission. Friends, take what you have and who you are, and this day, on the first day of Holy Week, I challenge you, whether this is the first time or the 101st time, give who you are and what you have to Jesus. Tell him, you are in, and you and I will be amazed what Jesus, in whom is all authority, you will be amazed at what Jesus will do through you to make his hope and love real in the lives of people that we're in relationship with, that we interact with. After all, if Jesus could do something with a donkey, he can do something with us. Amen? So, that's the first dramatic scene. It's the presentation. Now we have scene two, the celebration. Verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So on that day, the disciples, they went and got the colt. It had never been ridden before. They threw some cloaks on it as a bit of a makeshift saddle. And the question I ask is, who hops on a wild animal that's never been ridden before? That sounds like a prescription for disaster. I've been on a horse like I could count on my right hand the number of times. I'm not a fan. I guess in this instance, again, if you're the king from all eternity, if you're the creator of everything that is, no problem hopping on that donkey. And Jesus hopped on the donkey. And the crowd cheered and they waved palm branches. And in fulfillment of Psalm 118 in verses 25 and 26, they said, "Hosanna, save! This is our Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as the people cheered with joy, friends, in this moment, in the midst of their celebration, Jesus lived out his loneliness. I mean, the humility, the lowliness of the Lord Jesus, that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a steed, like a Roman general would. No, a donkey. I got a picture up here of Ronaldo. Ronaldo is standing by one of his sets of wheels. That is a sweet car. That's a $9 million U.S. Bugatti. Apparently, Cristiano has 20 such exotics and luxury cars. Now, $9 million U.S., that's like what, 100 million Canadian? That's an expensive car. That's the way to get around, right? Not Jesus. That day, Jesus rode on a donkey. And a demonstration to the people of his lowliness, his humility. Friends, how we rejoice in the compelling humility of our Lord Jesus. Amen? I mean, the humility of the King from all eternity, who would so condescend himself in a manner that this universe previously had never, ever seen, that he would step out of glory, that he would come into our world, take upon himself a body, and then show up, as Mark elsewhere tells us, not to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for our sins on the cross. Friends, we glory this day on this Palm Sunday in the lowliness, the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may Spirit of the living God, the compelling humility of Jesus be increasingly reproduced in our lives, that in our people connections one with another, we would reflect the humble, others-minded attitude of Jesus, that in the people connections that we have in the places where we work and in the neighborhoods where we live and in the schools where we go, that this humility of Jesus, that it would be reflected from our lives. But on that day, as the people celebrated, there was Jesus in his humility and his lowliness, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. But on that day, as the people celebrated, he was also presented in his loftiness. Because the people that day, what did they say? They said, "Hosanna," which literally means "Lord, save." It's a positive exclamation of joy. "And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In other words, they were giving their praises to the Nazarene riding on the donkey. And you know what? Jesus didn't tell him to stop. That's because our King Jesus is worthy of every word and attitude of praise and worship that we could ever bring his way. On that same day, however, were some Pharisees, and they were seriously bent out of shape by what was going on. And according to Luke's gospel, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell your disciples to button it." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Here's the deal. If the people stop speaking their praises to me, even the rocks will cry out." At Harvest, we want to be all about our Lord Jesus Christ, exalting him, lifting him high, and offering to him all of our worship and praise, right? I mean, no rock's going to do our praising, certainly not this day and in Holy Week. No, we choose to lift high the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our soon-coming King. There's one more dramatic scene in the verses, and it's this. It's the examination. So Jesus arrives in the holy city. He's been riding on the donkey through the valley up into the city. And look what Mark writes in the 11th verse. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Luke tells us in his parallel account that, yes, Jesus rode into the holy city on the donkey, but along the way he stopped and he wept. He wept over the city. He wept for the brokenness, the lives there that were far from God, the woundedness, the desperate needs in every way, and certainly spiritually, that were reflected in the lives of his people living in Jerusalem. He wept for the city. So there was Jesus, very carefully examining the city and the place of worship, the temple. An eminent surgeon was performing an operation, and she had several residents around her, and they were observing, and they were in dialogue. And as the surgery began, the surgeon asked her residents, "Who is the most important person in this operating theater?" Everyone stopped for a second and pondered, what's the right answer here? And then one the resident said, "Well, doctor, that would clearly be you." And she said, "Wrong. The most important person in this operating theater is the patient." Friends, one day Dr. Jesus stepped out of heaven and into our world to bring his love, hope, and healing to the lives of people. And when Jesus looks into our city, he sees people who are lost and without a shepherd. May we every day, with hearts yielded to Jesus, see the city in which we live through the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, as people loved dearly by Jesus. We will not encounter one person this week who is not a person for whom Jesus did not give his life. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus. May we see the people that we encounter in the days ahead this week with the eyes and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus examined the city. He went into the temple, their place of worship, and he looked around. I wonder what he thought that day as he looked around the temple. Jesus is here this morning in our midst, in our place of worship, by his Spirit. As he looks around in our midst, and friends who've joined us online, what does he see in our midst? What does he see in our hearts? What are our needs? What are our concerns? Could we dare this day to bring before the King from all eternity whatever our needs and concerns are, knowing that he sees our hearts anyways? Let's share them with him. For Jesus delights to show up in our lives and do the kinds of things that Jesus can do when we humble ourselves and ask. And then this, friends, when he peers into our hearts, does he see in us a heart that is pressing into Jesus and seeking him with all we've got? Well, in history, crowns have always been a symbol of monarchy and the authority of monarchy. Queen Elizabeth II, the late Queen Elizabeth II, the crown that she wore is really quite an amazing piece of jewelry. I've got a picture here. That's Queen Itu's crown. There are on that crown, and of course the base is purple velvet with an ermine skin trim, and on it are 3,174 precious gemstones, rubies, emeralds, sapphires. Of the 3,174 stones are 2,868 diamonds. And on the bottom left, do you see that rock, that diamond? That modestly sized stone is of the weight of 317 carats. It's a massive diamond. What do you suppose that's worth? That crown is estimated to be worth somewhere between 5 and 8.5 billion, with a B, Canadian dollars. It's worth a lot. But take all of the crowns of the monarchs from all of history, put them all together, and there's so much costume jewelry compared to the crowns that Jesus has. Yeah, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but he's the King of Kings, and he's got the crowns to prove it. The crowns of righteousness and of glory, and crowns of peace and of power. And Jesus also wore one other crown. And I want to suggest this morning that the other crown that Jesus wore in history outshines them all. It was formed by the hands of some Roman soldiers. And that crown of thorns was slammed down on his head. But on this Palm Sunday, how grateful we are that our Lord Jesus Christ wore that crown of thorns. He wore it on our behalf. He took the pain that we deserve to take. He wore it for us. And so that all who would choose, by simple, sincere faith, to yield their lives to Jesus as their only Lord and Savior, instead of wearing a crown of thorns, instead of experiencing the punishment that would be ours to experience for our sins, that instead, by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, we wear for time and forever the crown of life. Yes, Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day on a donkey, and he was, and he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he came for us. And all God's people said, let's pray. On this Palm Sunday, Lord Jesus, we glory in the account of Scripture, which speaks so beautifully to your character and who you are to us and what you have come to do on our behalf. And we're deeply grateful. My prayer in these moments for our friends who've joined us online and for everyone who is in our room is that we would be able to say with confidence, yes, I don't just know about Jesus. By faith, I know this one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as my Lord and Savior. He's my King. Jesus, I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for a weekly message. Jesus entered Jerusalem with a parade, humbly on a donkey, not in the way the Jewish people thought he would, but ultimately in the way all of humanity needed. Jesus demonstrated his love for each and every one of us by choosing to enter Jerusalem, knowing what was awaiting him. Jesus demonstrated that we are important and that he came to seek and to save the lost, the broken, and the hurting. If we are to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus, then we need to be reminded that we are to love and care for one another following the example of Jesus. We deserve the consequences of our sin, but Jesus came and took that away. Let us today be reminded that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're experiencing challenges and hardships, would like prayer for anything going on in your life, or if you'd like to learn more about how you can invite Jesus into your heart and begin a relationship with God, please email help@hhachurch.com. That's help, H-E-L-P, at H for Harvest, H for Hills, A for Alliance, Church, C-H-U-R-C-H.com. And we'd love to talk with you and pray with you and help you find and experience the love that is available to us in and through Christ Jesus. Now these words from 1 Timothy 1:17. All honor and glory to God, forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. May God bless you as you go into the remainder of your day to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus.